Recorded Books presents Crossed Lines, Love Along the Wires, Book 2, by Jennifer Delamere, narrated by Bianca Amato. Chapter 1. London, England, June 1881. Mitchell B. Harris, better known to readers of the era as our London correspondent, leaned casually on the desk of John Munson, toying with his cane, while Munson chuckled over what he was reading. Mitchell had to admit, this was one of his better pieces. Although he worked days at the Central Telegraph Office, this side job as a theatre critic provided him with a lot of satisfaction in addition to extra cash. What could be better than to get free tickets to the latest shows and be paid for his reviews? There is no doubt Mr. Rutger, and some in the audience, thought his interpretation of Hamlet rivaled that of the great David Garrick, Munson read aloud. They are absolutely correct. Like the long-dead actor, Rutger's performance is 100 years out of date. Stiff and posed, with arms outstretched, he declaimed the words of Britain's immortal poet like a barely alive statue. Munson looked up, grinning. It's rather a savage assessment, Harris. Thank you for that compliment, Mitchell returned with a smile. You know the era's readers have come to expect brutal honesty from our London correspondent by now. Oh, I'm not complaining. Your incisive theatre reviews are increasing our readership. Munson tossed the paper onto the desk. However, it will hardly win you any favours from the theatre managers. They might force us to buy the tickets instead of getting them for free. I agree, that would be bad. I would be especially grieved if I'd had to pay for that overstuffed performance. Sacrificing 3 hours of my time was a high enough price. Munson lifted a brow. Was it truly that bad? You must admit you veer close to hyperbole at times. Nonsense. I never exaggerate. In point of fact, I consider that review to be the epitome of restraint. You know how it irks me when actors, and schoolteachers for that matter, purposely make Shakespeare difficult to understand. As he spoke, Mitchell rose from his position on the desk. Keeping his weight on his good left leg, he set his cane in position next to his right boot to secure his balance. Fired up by his favourite subject of complaint, he set off at an agitated clip toward the open window. The day was warm, and the office felt stifling. There's a reason Shakespeare was so popular with the ordinary people of his day. Why do you suppose he could pack the theatre for every performance with 3,000 people from all walks of life? It's because they connected viscerally with his characters, who are exquisite combinations of goodness, foibles and follies. Those characters are living and breathing creations, so long as the actors don't suck the life out of them. Reaching the window, he leaned forward to find some fresh air. I'd pay good money to see a production that did them justice. Sam Boyle, one of the era's most prolific journalists, happened to be passing by along the pavement outside. Hearing Mitchell's remark, he grinned. That's quite a statement, Harris, considering what a pinch-fist you are. Mitchell motioned with his head back toward the office. I think you have me confused with Munson on that score. Careful, Harris, Munson warned, but there were no teeth in his threat. Mitchell settled himself on the windowsill, his thoughts still on the point he'd been making. He knew how thrilling a performance of Shakespeare could be when done properly. He'd seen it once, when he was an 8-year-old pauper in Manchester. On a bitterly cold, blustery day in February, he'd snuck into a theatre, seeking warmth he would never find at home. The burly man who normally guarded the stage door had stepped away, and Mitchell slipped inside. He'd made it all the way to the wings. Heat from the bright stage lights seeped even to the backstage area. The afternoon...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?